Well, here we are. I was looking forward to this for quite a long time since the invitation. Appreciate very much the elders asking me to come. I hope it didn't have anything to do with my son, but it's good to be here and to be a part of your worship this week and praise to our great God. I'm going to just get into our lesson today, and I want to read to you some, or the words. I'm not going to sing it for you, but when my boys were small, one of the songs that Diana used to teach them, and she still teaches this in the small children's class, it's a song that goes this way. As I said, it's not, I'm just going to tell you the words. It says, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." What a wonderful song to teach our children to understand just who God is in a very simple way, and about the power and the majesty and the greatness of God. We're going to be talking this week on the subject of power. And there's no better place to begin than the source of that power, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Well, let's see here. Am I in the right place? Let me try it again. There we go. We're going to be looking at this week some things about power, rightly stated PowerPoints on a PowerPoint presentation. We're going to be looking this morning at the power of the Almighty God. You think about God, and you think about the characteristics of God, and one of those characteristics that comes to mind is the concept or thought of His omnipotence. Omnipotence is defined as all-powerful, almightiness. And in other words, if God wants something done, God doesn't have to ask anybody. God has the ability and the power to do it Himself. There's nothing, as that little song says, there's nothing my God cannot do. You think about, for instance, in Matthew, the 28th chapter, when Jesus talks about the authority that He's been given. Where did that authority come from? It came from His Father, and the authority that was given to Him is all authority in heaven and on earth. And that is that inherent authority that God delivered to His Son to exercise even to this day as we recognize Jesus Christ to be our King, to be our Lord and our Master. That authority and that power had been given to Him by His Heavenly Father, God the Almighty. Not only that, but Paul quotes of the omnipotence, or speaks of the omnipotence of God, over in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4 and verse 6. And those passages are up here. Chapter 4, verse 6. When he talks about the fact that there is one God, and he says that and He is Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. There are some words that speak to the power and the omnipotence of God. He is in everything. He owns everything. Everything belongs to Him. Again, the power is His. And so this morning, what we want to do in this hour session is we want to talk about the idea of God's power and what He has power over. Well, if it's all things, we would recognize, first of all, that He has power over this earth upon which we live. We recognize His divine power in the very first chapter of the book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. It says that He spoke into existence all things from absolutely nothing. And that's power. And that's something remarkable and worthy of our worship and our honor today as we assembled ourselves together to serve God. Over in Colossians chapter 1, Paul there says in verse 16, "For in Him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible, things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through Him and unto Him." Through Jesus Christ, all these things have been created by our great Almighty God. And the Hebrew writer says in chapter 11 and verse 3, that the faith that we have, by faith we understand that the whole world, the world was framed by the Word of God. By God's Word, by God's statement, This entire creation that we exist in and we enjoy was stated by his single word. And so you go over to Genesis chapter 1, and what do you read over and over? But God said, God created these things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 1. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And what happened? It was so. You move on to verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. And what happened? Well, it says at the end of that verse, it was so. In verse 11, God said, let the earth put forth grass, herb-yielding seed, and fruit trees. And then at the end of that verse, it was so. Whatever God said, it came to pass. And it wasn't just the fact that he had a little bit of authority. He had the ability to create these things out of absolutely nothing, to produce them as he so willed. Let the water swarm with these living creatures. It was so. Let the living creatures live upon this earth, the beast of the field. And it was so, we're told, over and over again. You talk about power. You talk about strength. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that is in our midst today. And we recognize his majesty and power at this moment. He has created all things. In Psalms 24 and verse 1, the earth is Jehovah's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And then you have over in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 26, Paul also indicating that the earth, quoting from this, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, what's the significance of that? He has the right to instruct us and teach us in anything. When God says, this is what I want my creation to do, we need to recognize that authority and that power. It's not for us to determine what we will. It's not ours to change and adapt what he has revealed unto us. But ours is to respect his authoritative word, his powerful word in all things. As you continue, you're going to see that we find he has complete power over the spiritual realm. Yes, he has the control of this earth. He has created this earth. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, I believe, in our study. But here, let's look at the spiritual realm for just a moment. What about the spiritual realm? Revelation 22 and verse 5 says that there shall be no more light. They need no light or lamp, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God shall give them light. This speaks of this place of heaven where we have an eternal illumination, an eternal light, an eternal understanding. We recognize that he is the giver of all life and light that we have. And so these things in heaven are not physical. Flesh and blood is not going to be here. We recognize then that his realm is of a spiritual nature. Yes, he has created the world. Yes, he has control over these things, as we've just noted. But what we see is that he has the authority in the realm that is of, as we said, the Spirit. Jesus regards the Father as a Spirit. He tells us in John 4 of our worshiping him. We worship him in spirit and truth. Why do we worship in such manner? Well, he is a Spirit. He is not physical. And so our worship to him, our homage to him is of a spiritual nature as well. Repeatedly, we see as Jesus was upon this earth, again, the power of God being seen in the life of Christ. We see Jesus having control over the spiritual realm with the demons of the world. We have demons in Matthew the 8th chapter, verse 16. He cast out the demons of an individual, cast out spirits with a word, it tells us, and he healed all the sick. Jesus merely had to say, demon be gone, spiritual being be gone, and he had the power to immediately move that spirit out of an individual body. We've been studying in the Gospel of Luke and Sinton, and what we recognized last week is he had the ability not only to remove one spirit, but one that called himself Legion. Many, many spirits had encompassed a man, had been a part of a man's life, had been terrible things to him. But he had that kind of power to remove these demonic spirits from these individuals of that time. Matthew, the 9th chapter as well, gives us an example that there were demons cast out. Matthew 12, demons cast out. This isn't just a once or twice thing. We see over and over the power of God over the spiritual things even while Christ was upon this earth. James reveals a little bit more to us when we understand the power that he has. When he said in chapter 2 and verse 19, he said, "Thou believest that God is one, thou doest well." But he says, the demons also believe and they shudder. These spiritual beings, they know who God is. And in fact, many times when these demons were cast out, they responded in the sense, don't throw us into the abyss. We understand the power and what you can do to us. Don't destroy us. Don't hurt us. Don't harm us. They recognized the power that God had and the Son of God had over even these evil spirits. Now, over in Luke chapter 4, in this case, we find one unclean spirit that says, "We recognize you to be Jesus of Nazarene." This is Luke chapter 4, 33 and following. He says, "You're Jesus the Nazarene. And have you come to destroy us?" They knew who he was. The spiritual realm understand the power of God and the power of his Son. And so it says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down into the midst, he came out of him. In a mere seconds, moments, God's power over the spiritual realm is seen in these kinds of examples in the New Testament. And so we can only stand in wonderment of the greatness of our God. He controls the physical things of this world. He controls the spiritual things as well. Job talks about his power, the unsearchable power of God. Over in Job chapter 5, verses 8 and following, he says, "But as for me, I would seek after God, and unto God would I commit my cause." And then he describes God, the one who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sends waters unto the fields. The God that has control over all things, this is the God that has power that is unending, and this is the God I commit myself to. My spirit is in him. He does the wondrous things. I am his. Been created in his image. I'm created in a likeness of my God. And in that regard, how great and marvelous his power is over the spiritual things. We are called as well. Our spirits are called by God through that gospel message. He approaches our spirit, our intellect, our thoughts, understanding we are more than just flesh and blood. Being made in his image, being made in his likeness, there's that power that God has over the spiritual realm where he invites and he calls to us spiritually. He understands our guilt of sin. He understands the pains that are within. He understands the relief of that sin through Jesus Christ, how it can be offered. So the power of such spiritual ability is certainly being a spirit is greatness. Let's look at something else. We're kind of limited on time. Let's look at this. And that is that he has also complete power over the affairs of man. How is he described in the Bible? There are various terms that describe our God. There's the Almighty God. We read in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 particularly. He says in verse 2, "I am Jehovah. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob as God Almighty." What's he talking about there? God Almighty, speaking of his strength, he has engaged himself as the mighty God in a relationship with Abraham. He has engaged himself in a relationship, he says, with Isaac and Jacob. "I've offered them a promise, and it's through their lineage we recognize that salvation and happiness for man is going to come." And so when we think about the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, he is a God that deals with man. And that's, again, pretty impressive to think that kind of connection we have with a God that is so supreme. He is also described in a united sense, the word Elohim, where it speaks to the fact that he is one of three personalities in the beginning when he created man. This term is used of unity. And so as we think about him engaging in the affairs of man, the fullness of God is engaged with man, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. And so we have those that the characteristic of God that executes his law, upon the cross, Christ dying for us. We have the Spirit of God that is revealing His Word unto man. And so there is this interacting with man, the greatness of the fullness of God, the power of God. We also see the fact that over in Genesis chapter 49, when it speaks about the promise to Joseph and the blessings that were to come through Jacob and the mighty one of Jacob. He is described in that manner. He is the mighty one. He serves mankind in the sense of he is the God of mankind being almighty. I guess we could put some scripture up there. I'm sorry. The mighty one. This element of the almighty also indicates that he nourishes. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, let me see here. Starting to fight my clock here. This El Shaddai, as he is the God that is almighty, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, let's look at verse 39. See now that I am he. There is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, and there is none that shall deliver out of my hand. For I lift my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever. You know, it's similar to some of the statements of the Decalogue, the law of God, in the sense of there is no other God before me. I am Jehovah. I am the mighty one. There is none before me, none after me. And embedded in this word, I understand, is a thought of the nourishment, the supply. What man needs, God will supply. Whether physically, he reigns upon this earth and we have our fruit and the good things of this earth. And at the same time, he nourishes us spiritually. Everything that we need, he is providing those for us. When we start worrying about our life, and worrying where we stand in life, how we'll provide or how will we ever get through this difficult situation in life, we need to rest upon the almightiness of our God. And recognize that He has created us. And we are created in His image. He knows our inner workings. He has given us promises and blessings to enjoy. He nourishes us. He strengthens us. And it is not merely, a simple thing, but again, His unity. The fact that the Father cares for us as His children and the Son, we are part of this unique family. In the idea that he is the Godhead, and so we enjoy the relationship with the Son, and we enjoy the revelation, the Spirit of God, how he has revealed these deep things unto us that we may understand what God wants us to know. And so God in his completeness and his greatness and his power interacts with mankind, and it is a joy to recognize that and use it. He has interjected himself in days gone by. We studied the Old Testament of how he has used nations against nations. He has interacted with people. He used the Assyrians, for instance, as a rod of wrath. He used the Babylonians to, again, teach a valuable lesson to the nation of Judah. Jeremiah talks about the fact that the king of Babylon would come and carry them away into captivity. And these are judgments of God upon the people. Upon the Israel nation, upon the nation of Judah, his interaction with them. He is engaged in the affairs of this world. We think about the kings. We at times think, we elect these guys and put them in office, and there's an element where we cast our vote, no doubt. But we need to understand God is in charge and in control of all things. And if God wants an individual in, God will see that he is. If he doesn't want him in, I can't answer those things. But I know that I do what I can, and God is in charge of these things. We read over in not only the fact of the Assyrians and Babylonians in days gone by, Daniel chapter 4 talks about the fact that King Nebuchadnezzar was warned about his kingship and his power and authority that he had. That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Daniel 4 verse 17. So that men will know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth it up over the lowest of men. God's in charge. And when I start thinking things look chaotic, things are out of control, what do? I pray to the God Most High. Because these things are ultimately in His hands. He controls the earth. He controls the spiritual realm. He controls all. Down in the 25th verse of Daniel chapter 4, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth to whomsoever He will. We trust in our God at these times. You know, Jesus, and He stood before Pilate. Pilate wanted to let Him know He had authority. In fact, the word power is used several times in the text of John 19. He says, you know, don't you understand I have the power to release you or the power to crucify you? And Jesus comes back, you don't have any more power than what God, my Father, has given to you. God's given you that ability, that power, and it ultimately rests within Him. You have no power in and of yourself. And that is our life. We need to relinquish ourselves to our great God. And so He is the strong and the mighty one. Let's continue. We've got two more things I want to look at very quickly. Maybe we just one. One more point. That's it. What do we see as far as His complete power over Satan? Over the devil. If you try to think of some entity that's comparable to God in the sense of evil and could bring us down, we oftentimes think of Satan and we relate great things to Satan. Probably, well, I think more than we ought to. Satan is our enemy. He is our foe. He wants nothing more than to bring us down. But what we need to understand is even Satan or the devil has certain powers that are limited. And they are limited because God is supreme even over the devil. We can be afraid of him. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 talks about the fact that there's a prince of the power of the air that we have followed in this life. And as we in the 6th chapter prepare ourselves with the whole armor of God, we recognize there is a spiritual warfare against Satan that we're working against. And he wants to hurt us. He wants to bring us down. But we've got a greater power behind us than ourselves, a power that can overcome Satan, and that is our God. Satan is not omnipotent. Let me repeat that. He is not omnipotent. He doesn't have all power. What he can do is only what God permits him to do. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter, Satan himself understood that when he was talking to Jesus about the temptations. The devil said unto him, down in verse 6 of Luke 4, he said, to thee I will give thee all of this authority and the glory of them. Let me pause there again, because why did Jesus come? Well, he came to set up a kingdom. And so I'm going to cut out the middleman, Satan says, and I'll give this straight to you. But he really even didn't have the power to do that. Notice what he says. For it hath been delivered unto me, that whomsoever I will, I give it. I am limited in what I can do, Satan has said here. God is far superior, and God is the one who is limited. Now, I can deliver you these things of the world if you want them. But again, Jesus would not permit that. Jesus overcame that temptation. But Satan understood that I can deliver to you only what I'm permitted to give. I can give these kingdoms to you because I am the prince of this world. Over in Job, we understand how Satan operates. He comes to the Lord on an occasion, we find, and Jehovah asks Satan, you know, where are you coming from? Where have you been? He says, well, I've been roaming the world. I've been looking at all of the people and being among them and such things as that. And Jehovah says, did you look at my servant Job? And we understand then that Job is a good man, a righteous man, a faithful man. And yet, as we study through, we see that Satan then is given the permission, after he debates this case, well, he's only serving you because you've pampered him. You've kind of built a hedge around him and given him all these wonderful things. You take these things away and he'll deny you. He'll turn away from you. And so the Lord permits Satan to do these things. And it's in our life as well. God is omnipotent. Never forget the fact that He has power over Satan and that we turn to Him in our times of need. We recognize that the Scripture teaches that there is absolutely nothing our God cannot do. There is nothing so hard for Him. In Genesis 18, Abraham recognized that when trying to have a child with Sarah, You know, the promise of this one child through Sarah. It's stated very simply. Is anything too hard? Even a child can be born in old age. God has that power and that ability. Jeremiah utters the same things on behalf of the Lord. There is nothing too hard for thee. So when it comes to Satan and our temptations, there is nothing too hard. We say a temptation's difficult, and it is pressing. There's appetites we have. We want to overcome them, but the fact is our God is there to assist us and to help us. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and understand that fact, that it was through the death of Jesus Christ, through His death, He would bring to naught him that had power over death, that is the devil. Satan is limited in what he can do. Once the resurrection came, Jesus overcame and now ascended to the right hand and ruled from the right hand of God. There is power and authority that supersedes all authority. As Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And although Satan is maybe allowed to tempt us, much of his power has been taken away. And so ours is to live with respect to God and to overcome these temptations with the help of God. What we're going to do this week is we're going to see some of these powerful things that help us in overcoming temptation. Powerful things that help us to be better servants. These are things that the powerful God has given us to enable us to be the kind of men and women we need to be. The kind of disciples we need to be. God's power is unending and it is complete. And we ought to, again, praise Him and recognize Him. In Psalms 145, it tells us David's psalm of praise. I will extol Thee, O God, O King. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee. I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is Jehovah and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Our generation shall laud the works to another and shall declare Thy mighty powers. That's what we're doing this week, is we're telling generation after generation of the power of God, His mighty works, and what He can do for us. Verse 5 continues, of the glorious majesty of Thy honor, of Thy wondrous works will I meditate. The men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. Jehovah is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great loving kindness. Jehovah is good to all. His tender mercies over all His works. All Thy works shall give thanks unto Thee. O Jehovah, Thy saints shall bless Thee. In verse 11, and they shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power. Let's talk about the power of God this week. If you do not know God, maybe you've read the Bible, but you really don't know Him, I hope you will be a part of our studies this week to learn more about what God has done for His creation. The powerful things that we have at our hand that we can use. If you're not a Christian today and you know that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe firmly that that is the case, why not obey His gospel this hour? Come to Him confessing your faith in Him. Repent of your sins. He is powerful enough to help you overcome those things. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. That is His commandment. That is the commandment of the Almighty God. Who will spurn that? Who will spit in His face and say, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do? We need to obey God. He is the great God of power and strength. Can we help you? We need to pray for you. Let us do whatever we can as we stand and sing this song. Won't you please come? What can you